following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Of A Worthy Opponent, a podcast based on the Hearthstone game from World of Warcraft from Blizzard. I am Black Lace. With me in the studio is Micmac.
Well met.
Well met. And Autumn's Bane.
He used to work as an accountant before he tried his hand at berserking.
I know who that is. Black Lace, you got a guess?
Thinking, would that be...
My blade be thirsty.
The frothing berserker?
It would be.
I strike.
Is he frothing?
He's frothing.
Is he rabid?
Only one reason why you guessed it.
Why?
Because we were just talking about him 5 minutes ago.
Oh, you thought I was paying attention?
Uh-huh.
So yeah, the frothing berserker. Any reason you chose him tonight?
Yes, I had an interesting play with him this week. I was playing against a rogue, and I have two of him in my newly constructed warrior deck that's mostly mechs. I hadn't seen him around in a while. I decided to pull him out. Decided to whip him out. And
let me just whip this out.
I whipped out two of them, and among other minions, and my opponent took out the other minions, but there were just these guys left, and he used Betrayal, which is a rogue card that makes one minion do damage to the other. Only he didn't plan it quite right because they have a 2 attack and a 4 health. So what I ended up with, let me just tell you the card. 3 mana cost, 2/4 minion. Whenever a minion takes damage, gain +1 attack. This is a rare minion for warriors only. So he attacked one, it did damage, and now I end up with 2 minions gaining +1 attack. So they just made my already big frothing berserkers even bigger because 2 got wounded. And just one more got wounded. 1 got wounded, so both of them got a bonus. Right, Micmac? Does that make
sense?
That's
right.
Right. So they both got bigger, and then he's staring down the face of 2 big frothing berserkers and realized what he did and just conceded. I found it amusing, so he's the star this week.
Nice job. That card, the Frothing Berserker, we're not seeing too much play of it recently since Goblin vs. Gnomes has been out. It's such an underutilized card, and as we were talking about earlier before the show, to get a huge advantage on someone is to have a card that they're not expecting. So just as you're playing this warrior deck, almost everybody that you're queuing up against is thinking that you're control, and that you're going to play it slow. And these Frothing Berserkers come out, and those mech cards come out, and they're confused, and they're not ready for it.
Well, I won... I had the quest to win 5 warrior games. And I won 4, lost 1, and then won my 5th one. So out of 6 games, I won 5 with that deck. So warriors still very viable, but I guess when they're expecting control and it's a little more aggro, it throws them.
Somebody was watching me play my Shaman deck the other day and asked me if it was a control deck, and I was like, nope, it's just a fun deck. It is
Funsies.
Really a control deck, but it's fun to play. Except, I don't know, I had a couple of games in a row where I swear the RNG was against me because 2 paladins in a row last night, poor Autumn's Bane, sitting at my right hand, hearing me swear like a freaking sailor, because two paladins in a row. I don't know how they did it. They just kept getting out these stupid little tiny creatures and just swarming over me like a bunch of locusts. And my shaman deck has four cards that can pretty much go wipe the boards. And both games, none of those cards came up in my hand. I was not a happy camper.
No, normally, wasn't.
Yeah, normally my shaman deck always comes through for me. This time, was not a pretty sight. And we were talking earlier about spectator mode. What do you guys think of spectator mode?
I can't play as casual as I used to. I'm a casual player, but suddenly I have an audience so often.
So you have to win, because otherwise it's embarrassing. Nick Mac got to see me make a fun play this week.
Yes, and I thought you did it purposely, but turns out that you didn't.
No, I didn't. I was, I gotta warn you guys, when you are looking at a card and you're about to cast it on somebody and you want to change your mind so you could look at it more closely, don't pull it back with your mouse and drop it into your hand. Hit escape so that it pops you out completely. Because if you accidentally move it just so, you can blast yourself in the face for mega points of damage, which Micmac witnessed me do. And then I was so furious that I just conceded on the spot. And Micmac's like, "That was cool." I'm like, "No, I didn't do it on purpose."
Well, do you remember? Go ahead, Micmac.
No, I thought you were just trying to bring some light to the fact that you were about to die. And then, no, you brought it back to your face. You looked over the mouse in the wrong spot. And then, kaboom.
I wasn't really about to die. If it had worked the way I was going to, and I was double checking to make sure that I really could do this awesome thing, I would have been able to turn the whole table around. But as soon as I blew my face off, I was like, that's it. Game over. I don't even want to pretend I can come back now.
Well, I used to do something very similar at the beginning of this game, back in beta. There is a rogue card called Perdition's Blade. It's a 3 casting cost, 2/2 weapon. And its battle cry is to do 1 damage. Unless it's a combo, then it deals 2. And the way I used to equip weapons is I just dropped the weapon over my hero's face and it would equip. And then every time I played this card, I damaged myself. I'm like, what the hell? I think since then they've added an arrow that actually points to where you want the damage to go. But it used to be you just put your card over where you wanted it to be damaged, and I didn't realize that. So it took me a few times playing before I realized, okay, don't put that over my hero's face.
I feel victim to that a lot, too.
What was that?
Yeah, or he fell victim to that.
Indeed. Well, way too many times. I used to play Rogue. Rogue was my first hero when I started playing Instructed. This is way back in maybe March or April, season 1-2, right after beta was released. And Rogue was my hero. That's what I was playing before Warrior. And yeah, I used Perdition's Blade. I had a weapons rogue deck at the time. And Perdition's Blade killed me a couple times, actually.
What I hate is when it drops when you're trying to cast something on somebody else and like you're moving to hit the face of your opponent, and for some reason your spell goes off and hits a minion instead. It just kind of drops it in the wrong place. That drives me crazy. But I had a really interesting win that Anna's Vein was also privy to. I had somebody build one of my minions to a 12-12 and then smack himself in the face with it and died. He just completely... He attacked it with a weapon, and but he pumped it up first, so that was really powerful. Then he smacked it with a weapon and died. I was like, okay, I'll take that win.
I see lots of creative suicide in this game.
Yes.
Creative suicide.
Hearthstone, creative suicide.
That's the title, right, tonight? Creative suicide.
Damn right.
Sure.
So I wanted to go back to something you two were saying a moment ago, and it really goes to talk about deck design and philosophy. So I'm guessing that when Micmac decides he's going to make a deck, he decides two things. He first decides the hero, and then he decides how he wants to play that hero. I'm going to play a aggro hunter. I'm going to play a control warrior. Whereas I'm probably close, right, McMac? You kind of think that through before you make your deck?
Yeah, typically. I want to play aggro, and then I'll choose a hero based off of that. Or I'll choose a hero and say, how do I want to play this hero? So I go back and forth, but no, you're right on the money, though.
So now Blacklace, on the other hand, says,
mm-hmm.
What? This card is fun, and that card looks cool, and let me put that one in too. And she just makes it a deck so that she has fun cards in the deck to play. And that's how she makes her decks. Am I close to the money there?
Pretty close. I will, yeah, but then, you know, I'll put the cards in that I want to see played and want to have fun with. And then when I see it, if it starts losing, I will tweak it. And I will, like, remove, okay, what did I need? And I'll slip in the card that I need amongst the other cards that maybe I just had in there as filler. And I'll slowly tweak it till it starts working for me and is fun. That's what happened with my Shaman deck. I just put in all these cards that I thought were fun. And it's really, that deck has transformed probably 60 times just by different cards being manipulated around. But yeah, I do. I start with, I think this is a fun card. I want to play with it. So yeah.
See, so we're a Micmac. Conceives of the deck in his mind and makes that deck work with the proper ingredients to fill the recipe. And you start with, like, oh, I want basil in the sauce. What else do I want? So you start with the ingredients and come up with a
concoction.
Come
on, I'm going to put basil in a sauce? You compared me with cooking?
All right. It may be a bad analogy.
Compare
you to any kind of cooking. But, correct. Just to show different philosophies, and also you were talking about how you can't win in on the ladder, and if you want to win on the ladder, you probably should use Micmac's philosophy
exactly.
A little bit more.
Exactly. However, my rogue deck, the rogue mech deck that I'm playing with, I actually copied card for card from somebody on the web. So that it's not really my deck that I'm playing with. I'm playing with somebody else's that supposedly worked, and it just isn't working on the ladder, but it is a lot of fun to play.
Well, that's a third philosophy. Just copy someone successful.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
Well, that's always fun about when people send me in decks to play. I like to see their own take on things, their own little flair. Whether or not it's the best deck out there, they like that, and it's been doing well for them at this particular time, or they found a really cool synergy with it, what have you. They're just having a good time with it. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the engineering and the innovative design that people like bring. I also like silly decks.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Like putting light wells in the decks and buffing them up to 2020s. 40. And then just, I actually played a game today with one of my friends, just a little silly deck. I wanted to make a Endless Taunt Shaman deck, and that failed, and he just made a gimmicky priest deck with a bunch of light wells, and yeah, he was drawing himself to death towards the end because he had two Norshara clerics out there, and the light wells kept healing, so he kept drawing two cards, and then he had another light well, so he would draw another two cards. It was a good time.
You had said on a previous turn that having two Norshara clerics out was a bad idea, and you're driving that point home with this story.
Yeah, I remember Dustin the White and Deathpwn, actually. I think it was that game. I think Dustin the White played two Norshara clerics, and Deathpwn made him draw so many cards. He discarded, I don't know, 5, 6, maybe more than that.
Speaking of the tournament, I'm going to segue now, because that was perfect, because those were tournament games.
Listen, perfect segues only work when you don't say that was a perfect segue.
So it's not going to work as a good segue?
Oh, it's still a good segue, but
Then your theory is crap.
So please proceed.
Right. Tournament reminder. The winner of the podcast, I just want to remind people, the winner of the podcast gets to be on the show. This would
has
be
the opportunity to maybe be on the show.
The winner of the podcast probably gets to be on the show. and this will be the very first tournament that Micmac will be able to talk to that person to?
Yeah, no, I did speak to Frid on the last tournament.
Oh, did you?
Woman.
Okay. The pizza man. Okay, I'm sorry.
Micmac was pretty new then, too, right?
Yes, he was. That was right at the beginning.
I mean, new to the podcast, not new to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep, yep. So, tournament reminder, the winner most likely will be able to be online with us and chatting and talking about his or her deck. Oh, come on. We need women. Get some women into the tournament.
We have a lot of people that have signed up so far, haven't we, Autumn Spain?
No, we actually don't. We have officially 1, 2, 3, 4. Five.
Where's my Violet Fire?
14.
I haven't seen her.
We have 14. We have some old standbys like Breezy, who said it's his daughter's birthday and he can't make it, and reminded me of Micmac's anniversary. But there are no females, and we've had a few. I think Violet was a pretty casual player. I thought she would have wanted to be in this one, but she might be busy. We had at least one new female last time, but she hasn't signed up yet. There's only till this Friday, ladies and gentlemen. You've got less than a week to sign up.
Yeah, it's closing
in. So if you're snowed in tomorrow, then spend your time doing that. Sometimes people wait till the last minute because they want to decide on their decks. They're not sure. We have only one previous winner signed up so far, and that's Frid. So anybody who wants a chance to beat last tournament's winner can possibly get a chance to go up against Frid. But no Dustin, and of course no Micmac, and no Belschnickel. Oh, Belschnickel was second, though. We just had him as an extra.
You're rambling.
Yes. We don't have a lot of people, so please sign up. But you know what? This is enough that we can make a good go of it.
It's still a fun tournament.
Huge. Yep.
Absolutely. I think having it limited to the basic cards might be intimidating some people. Instead of making it easier, like some people think, I think it's going to intimidate people.
Well, I don't think it's easy. I think it's more inclusive. And some people may not like the restriction. They want to use all the good cards, and they think that using the basic cards, you know, limits their creativity, and or maybe they're used to copying winning decks from, you know, the winners around the world. And I don't know if there's any good sites to send people to making basic decks.
It's going to be the Battle of the Chilwin Yetis.
I'm looking forward to spectating this one.
And there may be some classes that are just downright terrible with only the Soulbound cards. I'm tending to see, I think, the same classes over and over again. I don't remember off the top of my head which ones are in the lead, and I don't want to give that away anyway, but I'm seeing a lot of the same classes popping up.
Ringo in the chat room has no idea how to play a basic deck.
Just put a bunch of Boulder Fist Ogres, Chilwin Yetis, and River Crocolis in there. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
I was wondering if this was going to be Ringo's first A Worthy Opponent tournament that he was not part of.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did register.
He did?
It's right there, yeah. I thought I saw it. We'll look later. We won't discuss it on the show because we can just look at it later without people listening to us go, huh, huh? So what we're going to do is we're going to move on and start talking about... See? He doesn't listen to me. Marriage counselor!
I'm here. Thank you. Let's talk about this legendary card.
Let's talk about the legendary cards. Who wants to go first? All right, I'll go first. We are doing the 6 mana cost cards now. Last week we went up from 1 to 5, and now we're doing the neutral legendaries as we like to rank them based on a email, or was it a... Twitter, something that's was it.
Somebody sent us an email, yes.
Yes, asking us our thoughts. So we got really crazy and decided to talk about every single card. Cairn,
not every single card, just the neutral.
Every single legendary neutral, correct? Right. Are we done? Cairn.
Cairn.
Death. Cairn. That would be him. Again, just to reiterate, G good in any. S for specific, M for meh, and D for dust. Cairn Bloodhoof, 6 casting cost, 4/5. Death Rattle, summon a 4/5 Bane Bloodhoof. Autumn's Bane gave him the big G, which is basically good in any. I am totally, totally in agreement. Cairn is a good card. Doesn't have any of the pizzazz that some of the other cards have, but Basically, you have a 4-5 creature out there doing its damage. Somebody wants to off it, and you get a 4-5 creature out there to do its damage. Not too shabby. And it's a 6 casting cost creature, so it's good. And it's Cairn and Bane. How else could you go bad?
Yeah, the you know what the best part about Cairn is? The best part about Cairn is when he dies. And then his son, Bane Bloodhoof, comes back, also as a 4-5. I mean, I don't think there's an argument here. I think it's just he's just one of the better legendaries. We're not seeing a lot of him right now. People really aren't playing Cairn Bloodhoof. He's sort of forgotten for all these different Dr. Booms and all these other cool GVG legendaries that people have been playing. So, but he's definitely one of the best legendaries, in my opinion.
I had the Trogzor. You know how they say it when he comes out? He goes, Trogzor!
Trogzor!
I'm trying to go to sleep, and I keep hearing that in my head. It's worse than counting sheep. It was horrible. But anyway, yeah, Bane has gone the way, or Cairn has gone the way of kind of quietly stepping aside because a lot of brand new cards have come out that are really, really good, but let's not forget, some of these old classics are really good cards, and he is one of them. Honest, Bane?
Well, you already told everybody my answer when you started.
Yes, but you can extrapolate.
I have nothing to add.
It's a good word.
You said it all. It's a good card. There's nothing more to say.
Okay. One of you gentlemen want to jump on the next one?
Sure. We have the 6-mana Gelban Mechatork, 6/6, Battlecry, summon an awesome, in all capital letters.
No.
Oh, wait, I skipped ahead, didn't I?
Include your soulbound cards. Press that little button.
No, I actually it's grayed out.
It's got to be in crafting mode.
You missed poor Glaslow.
No, I'm in crafting mode. I just didn't want to read it, I suppose. But let's go. Let's rewind here. Glaslow, 6-mana, 3/6. Whenever you cast a 1-mana spell, add a random mech to your hand. This is a pretty cool card. I said he's specific. There's some decks that are coming out now with him in it. I haven't seen it personally. I haven't played against Glaslow, but I can see him as being useful, but it has to be specific because the stats are pretty bad. 3 attack, 6 health. At least it's a higher health than attack. So he'll stick around for a while so you can get more value out of his ability. But again, I think he's specific. I think there's better legendaries out there for people to craft. And,
The problem with this is cast a 1-mana spell?
Yes.
It's cast a 1-mana spell. So it's not as powerful as if it was simply whenever you cast a spell, add a random mech to your hand. It's like, what would be? Holy crap! Yes! There is the card for me. Because you're going to have a handful of mechs. But no, it's a 1-mana casting cost spell. We'll do it. So that's what kind of slaps him down a little bit.
Now, I that's what I find interesting about this card. So 3/6, he's got survivability, you know, having a 6 toughness, so he'll be around a little bit. But 6 casting costs, you know, so it's a mid-game card, depending on the type of player you're playing against. But here's the interesting thing. You could, and I also said this was specific, because it is specific. You put this card in a deck full of very low casting cost spells. All, you know, even mostly 1 casting cost. You know, you have to have your higher end ones in there to balance things a little bit. So in a predominantly low casting cost deck, 1-mana specifically. And it says, here's the part I like. Add a random mech to your hand. Not a random 1 casting cost mech. Not a random 2 toughness mech. It's random mech, so you could get any mech, even more powerful mechs. This is like sort of like casting the web spinner over and over again. You can get any beast.
Well,
so,
here's
so it's very interesting, I think, and I think somebody will design a deck where this works very well.
Here you go. Now we have the quest where you have to cast a lot of 2-1 casting cost creatures. Mind you, they're not
the
spells.
The Meek Shall Inherit.
Yep, the Meek Shall Inherit is casting of low casting cost creatures. If you were to design a deck around him, and that kind of deck, have very low casting mana spells, low casting creatures. I could see this being a much better card for that kind of deck. Again,
now, wait
a situational.
Second. It's not the minions that will call it out.
Right, I said that.
So you could, we talked about this last turn, you could conceivably have an all spell, no minion deck. Well, you can only have one Gazlow, so that's the downside. But you can somehow work it in there so that you have a spell heavy deck and not have a lot of minions. And this guy,
pumps
if you
the
can
size
keep him
your
protected,
deck.
He will
He's
be
Viagra.
Giving you, he'll be giving you the minions. So when I say specific, I think specifically a fun casual deck. I don't know if this has a lot of room for play on the ladder. It might be fun to play in arena, maybe. But
I would love this card. I think I really think it would be fun.
Micmac says he loves to make fun decks. I think this guy is prime material to make a fun deck out of.
Yep.
Well, you know what? Would actually the spare parts would benefit greatly with the synergy of Gazlow.
Right,
if you have a
one casting
deck
cost.
Exactly.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you're right. I was agreeing with you.
Yeah, I like this card. I wish I had it. I would so create a deck around it. I would, just like you said, I would.
Yes.
My kind of deck.
So I guess it's my turn.
It's your turn.
Yep.
Gelbin Mechatork. Now this was was this our free card that we got for playing the beta? Yes. Because I have him in gold.
Yes.
And he could be crafted regularly for people who aren't in beta. And we got this card because we spent money in beta. So if you paid for arena or bought a pack of cards from the shop, this was your gift. And because they don't want to
in
cheat.
Gold.
In gold. And they don't want to cheat people who didn't have the same opportunities, so they allow you to be able to craft him. But despite the fact that I have this demonic card, 666, 6 casting cost, 6 attack, 6 toughness, Battle Cry, summon an awesome invention. I've never thought his inventions were all that awesome. So, if he weren't soulbound, I'd probably dust him for the 1600 dust. But I can't.
Yeah, he's not a great card. Just like you said, he's dust worthy. I don't much care for him. It's cool that he's in gold, and I'm not going to dust him, obviously, because we can't. And even if we could dust them, I wouldn't because I want to collect them. But this is a card I would never consider crafting.
He's fun to play once or twice. But I think once you're finished with seeing his awesome inventions come out, you kind of put him aside.
I'm going to tell people what the inventions are.
Yeah, I still have seen. Yeah, look those up. But I've still seen him play it occasionally. Within the last month, I have seen him come out, so people are still playing him. Go for it, Autumn's Bane.
I remember in the beta, once when I purchased
Your
this card,
change.
Everybody had this card. Everybody was playing Gelbin Mechatork way back in the day, but not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
Yeah. Autumn's Bane, you still there?
So, the website I was looking at had all kinds of pop-ups coming up. So, they are Emboldener 3000, 0/4. At the end of your turn, give a random minion +1/+1. There's the Homing Chicken, which is a 0/1. At the start of your turn, destroy this minion and draw 3 cards. That's not so bad. The Poultryizer, which is a 0/3. At the start of your turn, transform a random minion into a 1/1 chicken. That one I always used to get, and I hated it. And the Repair Bot, 0/3, at the end of your turn, restore 6 health to a damaged character. A damaged character. So.
Which could be your opponent.
Yeah.
I think I've only seen the chicken come out.
Same. You know, I haven't seen any of the other ones. Just
the
chicken.
I don't think I've ever seen the other cards come out with this guy.
Yeah, and the character who gets the 6 health is random, so you can actually
you can
hurt
heal
yourself.
Your opponent.
Heal your opponent, yep. So I this was one of those fun, wacky cards that they decided to make early on without thinking about how it would suck.
Mm-hmm. So we're all in the right opinion that it's pretty much a dust-worthy card. Don't bother crafting it. There is so much better to craft. Like the next card, which is Hogger. is a 6 casting cost, 4/4 creature. One of my top 3 of all times. Hogger, at the end of your turn, you summon a +2/+2 gnoll with taunt. So not only do you get Hogger, but at the end of your turn, you get a 2/2 gnoll that has taunt. So when they try to kill Hogger, who's only 4 health, they have to go through the gnoll first.
Yeah, he used to infuriate the crap out of me.
Yep.
After I got thwarted by a Hogger, I think I may have crafted him. Or
Hogger,
I just got
Ragnaros, they were, for a while, the two of them were in every single deck I played. They were just awesome. So yeah, he's definitely, as far as I'm concerned, he rates high. He's a good card.
Oh, you guys are going to hate me so much.
You really don't like him?
I like Hogger. I like the idea of Hogger, but I don't like the card Hogger because he's just so easy to kill in other ways. So that 2/2 gnoll comes out, and I typically, every time I played against Hogger, I've been able to kill him easily. I actually wanted to put Hogger into my warrior deck just to switch some things up a little bit. This is a couple months back now, and he did nothing for me. There was no benefit at all. People
put
can
a
just
shield on him, put Death Rattle on him.
Yeah, but I don't yep. have that ability with the warrior, so I not my warrior deck. He didn't make any sense.
Did you put Death Rattle on him?
I said put Shaman. Death Rattle on him. Yeah, if you put there's a card that my Hearthstone just closed. That if you put Death Rattle, you cast it, and basically it allows him to come back. I'm sorry. Right now, my thing just shut down.
Ancestral
so
Spirit is the one you're thinking.
Yes.
Oh, so you're talking about a one class card that only one class can do. It's
I'm
not,
not
something
sure
that just anybody
my
can do.
Just shut
yes,
down.
That's
Hold
a
on.
Shaman card, right, Mac?
Right.
So you play a shaman so often, it's second nature for you to do it. But
right.
But Mi'kmaq is right in that he's easy to kill now. Before these two expansions came out, there were fewer options for destroying minions easily, other than running over them with other minions. And so back then, I had a hard time getting rid of him if my opponent played him. Since then, I've had an easier time with it. But the first time I came up against Hogger, is just everything I tried to do was just, there goes another one, there goes another one. All these gnolls just kept popping up. So it's kind of the predecessor to the Trogzor. The Trogzor works on the same philosophy in
right,
some
it
ways.
Does. Mm-hmm. I think that Hogger would be better if he was a 3/5 or even a 2/6 over a 4/4, because that 4 health, he dies to Flamestrike. He dies to just so many different things. Frostball
yeah, well,
and like
okay.
Hero power.
So decide what deck you want to put him. You put him in a paladin deck and throw out an Argent Protector. You throw a Divine Shield on him. That's another way to play him.
He's got his uses to be useful. But Mi'kmaq also started later than us. He's got a whole lot more legendaries to choose from now than he used to. And he's right. So I think Hogger has been devalued over time with Naxxramas and Goblins versus Gnomes, that there are much better legendaries now. But in his day, I thought he was one of the best.
He's still good. Okay.
So
we'll agree to disagree here. I think he rocks.
So you gave him a good Black Lace?
I sure did.
How about you, Autumn Spain?
Well, I had written good on my guide here, but I'm really going to downgrade it to good in specific circumstances. I don't think he's bad. I don't think he's dustworthy. You probably don't want to craft him at this point in the meta.
He's not meh.
No, he's not
your,
meh.
Your third
I said
is
he's specific.
Meh.
No, I said yeah. specific. So he's good in specific decks. So where you want, maybe you need some taunt minions, or maybe you don't have a lot of legendaries, or I see uses for him, and I think I still have him in one of my decks where he actually plays quite well, and I don't remember which it is, but he's not up there with Ragnaros anymore. But and I think if we look back in time, we'll see a lot of the people on the ladder were using Hogger back then. Mi'kmaq, you may have encountered him a lot more when you were first starting to play.
I did, and you're right. And then he was scary because I didn't have a lot of the cards I could use to get around him with, and it's just
that
an
was
endless
my point.
Wall.
Yeah.
Right. So I gave him a meh rating. Sorry, Black Lace. Well, the three of us averaged to specific, so that's kind of nice. It's not good, but if you take our average, it's not bad.
No, he was the Trogzor of the day.
Yeah, and he may be the first one we've come across that actually at one time was good and has kind of been downgraded without an actual nerf. A lot of the other minions, they said they nerfed him and he's no good anymore, like Leroy. Not that Leroy's no good anymore, but Leroy has lost a lot of value by the nerf, and some of the other cards did too. I think Tinkmaster was at least barely usable once, and nobody wants to use him now. But so he's kind of been nerfed just by time and age. You know, that there are betters. Toss out the old car for the newer shiny, right?
Right. Okay, so I think we're moving on here.
Yep, you are next with the next one.
So we have Illidan Stormrage, 6 mana, 7/5 demon.
You are not prepared.
Whenever you play a card, summon a 2/1 Flame of Azanoth. I actually got Illidan fairly early in my Hearthstone career, and I was excited when I saw him. I think that ability, I thought that ability was amazing. I think it's decent, but it's really hard to get it to pull off to work. Decks I think that he would go well in are Druid token decks, where you can make a bunch of little flames and then buff them up a little bit. Maybe with Savage Roar, giving them +2 attack for that turn, or maybe Power of the Wild, permanently giving them +1/+1. So I had to give him a specific rating. I didn't say he's meh. He's not really used that often. I haven't seen too much of him, but he's not something I would particularly craft right away. But if someone crafted him, I wouldn't hold it against them.
Well, he is a specific rating for me because I only use him in my Warlock deck because he's a demon. And he's not bad for a demon, especially when I have a card that summons a random demon from my hand. So I've seldom even had to pay that 6 casting cost because what are they, Void Stalkers or Void Callers, right?
Right.
So, you know, I have some decent-sized demons in my hand and the Void Caller, which only cost me 4 mana, gets to play, take out a few minions, and then boom, you know, out comes Illidan. And I especially love playing him against a druid.
Oh, because that's his brother, right?
Malfurion? Yes, instead of saying you are not prepared or whatever it is he says, he goes, hello, brother. Because Malfurion is his brother. Anyway, so that's the lore geek in me coming out. But I like playing him, and I don't get like a whole wall of 2/1 Flames of Azanoth, but I usually get a couple out, and it just helps to buff up my field a little bit. And I use him quite a bit, but I don't think I'd use him outside my Warlock deck.
Well, both of you have him. I don't have him. So I can't give as good and concise an opinion on him as you can because you've both played with him. I think he's a decent card. Would I craft him? There are probably about 7 or 8 cards I would craft before I would ever craft him. He's a decent card. Situational, yeah. I can't really say that much more about him because I haven't had the ability to play with him. He doesn't jump out at me as one I would craft, though.
Don't you think he should, though, because he's such a potent character in the WoW lore? I don't know much about the lore, but I feel like Illidan Stormrage should be one of like the best cards because of who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you ask anybody who knows World of Warcraft or even Warcraft before World of Warcraft lore to just name 10 heroes off the top of your head, he's going to be one of
them. He's got to be one of them,
99% of the time. He is a key character in this game, which is why they made him a legendary. It would have been cool if we ever got alternate hero classes to make him instead of Gul'dan as your hero. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
Also, there's too many frickin' orcs in this game.
Well, Blizzard is like that.
But yeah, he should have been a little bit cooler because he's Illidan.
Odin's Vein. Aren't you next, right?
I'm just scratching my head because of my eczema. Oh, I mean...
No.
My exena.
I think there's cream for that.
Spider bites.
So it's a 6 casting cost, 2/8 beast, legendary from Naxxramas, soulbound, so you can't dust it. Destroy any minion damaged by this minion. And what's cool is you can damage a lot of minions, especially little ones, that don't hurt too much because she's got 8 health. So that's pretty neat. And I don't know if I'm playing her in any of my decks currently, but when Nax first came out, I sure played with her a lot. I think she's a good card, but I'm trying to figure out why I really gave her a good rating and don't play her. I think it's just, I don't think she's bad. I think she's good. But
well,
I think
you can't play all the legendaries.
Right. I think that's it. There's just so many good legendaries now. And I still see people play her against me. And I try to take her out quick. But I think she's pretty decent.
She is decent. I agree. She's got this big yellow target. Oh, no, that's her face. Yes, exactly. It's to the face. The minute your opponent casts this card, you know that anything you can do to kill it is what you need to do.
So she's good bait. Spiders make
good
bait.
Oh, she's a great bait card. Absolutely. And she's a good card unto herself. So, yeah, I would definitely give her a good rating. Yeah, she's there. An 8, nothing to sneeze at. Anything with a health of 8, it's going to take a while to whittle down.
Now here comes Micmac to tell us why she sucks.
No, he won't. Not on this one.
Oh, well, you see, I gave her a meh rating. I know.
I knew it.
See, I really can't see her useful in any other 2 decks besides Priest, because she has so much health. And you can buff her health up and then maybe give her a taunt, so enemy minions have to go into her. And if you keep her health low, then she can't get targeted by, like, Big Game Hunter and just some other targets. So I think in Priest, she's pretty good. And then, obviously, she's a beast, so she would go somewhat well in a Hunter deck, but a very slow, controlly Hunter deck. The best part about Mayxana is that she comes off a Web Spinner. So I think we can agree right there. That's like the best part about her is that the Web Spinner can pop her right out. And you can get a lot of value. You can get a 6-mana minion for essentially nothing.
You know, I've never had her come out from a Web Spinner.
From Web Spinner? I have.
I've gotten 6 King Crushes, but never a Mayxana.
Oh my gosh. Because you insult her and call her a disease every time she comes out.
Hey, I just said her actual name a minute ago.
You did. You actually did. Now, I think she's a very good card.
So
she can't be crafted because she is a Naxxramas card, though.
Right. But the reason Micmac called her a meh is the same reason I said...
Because meh
I like her, but... No, not meh Exna. It's just there's so many better cards. And unfortunately, some cards get downgraded by the fact that others are better. If we had a very narrow field of legendaries, and this was one of them, we'd probably all think she was much better. But there's so many good ones now, and we're still getting to them. They haven't even come up yet.
Yeah, and there's so many bad ones, like the next one I'm going to read.
Go right ahead.
This one, I just look at the card and I go, why, Blizzard? Why? Mogor the Ogre. Maybe they like the name. I don't know. 6 casting cost, 7/6. Okay, so it's got decent stats. But all minions have a 50% chance to attack the wrong enemy. All right, other than Chaos Factor, why would you ever play this? You're not going to attack. You got a chance to attack everything wrong. For all you know, you could attack your... I don't know.
No, you can't attack your own.
You can't attack your own. You can't attack because it's the enemy. But, I mean, I guess it's got a chance to attack something that's not got a taunt on it.
Yeah, but you could just decimate your entire field of minions by going up against all the minions on the board that are tougher. And, you know, you could wipe yourself out with this card. I agree with you. This is crap.
I mean, maybe if you throw a taunt on it, then all of a sudden you've got a 7/6... character minion with taunt, and you just let it sit there and don't attack anything. I don't like the randomness. I don't like the random chance that you're not going to hit in that crucial situation when somebody calls out a Ragnaros and you've been able to pop him for one, and you need to kill him because it's crucial, and you kill the 1/1 spider. No.
You know what Molgar the Olgar is?
Why?
He's a bad influence.
Warlords of Draenor.
He's a drunk.
He's a drunk. And he makes the whole board drunk. It's one big party out there. And everyone just starts smashing to everybody else. Now, he's got 7 attack and 6 health for 6 mana. That's pretty good. That passes the vanilla test. Not bad. But I would only put this to a silly deck if I was drunk and I want to just have a good time with some of my friends.
It's like you let him loose in a mosh pit.
He's not even as good as the 4/4 ogre that has a 50% chance, because that normal card, that non-legendary card, as an individual card that only affects what it does, has far better value and use, even strategy, than this guy who affects all the other minions.
Did we all just agree
that it's crap?
Yes.
Yeah, you don't want this card around children.
No. This is, like, worse than messing worry.
And then on the opposite end of the scale, Micmac can talk about the next one, because she's worth talking about.
Oh, yeah. One of the best.
I love her.
Sylvanas Windrunner.
Crafted
6 mana,
her.
5/5. Yep. Death Rattle. Take control of a random enemy minion. This card can go in any deck. She's almost any deck. She's awesome. She can win you the game single-handedly. People will clear their entire board and make poor value trades just to get rid of her so you don't steal their cards. There's not much else to say about her, aside from the fact that she's a game changer when she comes down.
And you know what I have to say when I look at this card?
What?
Why? And you know why I have to say why?
Why?
It's because why haven't I crafted her? Because I don't have her.
Oh, you gotta do it immediately, sooner.
A completely different why than Mogar. You know, this one is why haven't I. Mogar is why does he exist?
I crafted her. And I wished I'd craft something else. Not because she's bad, but she just hasn't given me quite the value I thought she would. But I certainly enjoy playing her in two circumstances. I love to use her with Brawl. So she's out. Brawl is a warrior card that destroys all minions on the board. And they actually have a Brawl, and you hear boxing bells going ding, ding, ding. And her death rattle is take control of a random enemy minion. So when she dies, whatever minion survives the brawl, I get. Whether it's mine or my opponent's. And I just love when that combo worked. Micmac said it never really worked well for him. But I loved when it worked. And the other circumstance was playing against a priest. Because then I would get to steal a card from a priest.
You know, if you played a priest, you can actually steal a card from the priest.
And for some of those that some people that don't know, she actually used to be 5 mana. They nerfed her because she was so powerful. So she went down just a notch up to 6. Well, she went up to 6 mana. She used to be 5 mana. And that, you could just play Sylvanas Windrunner, play Brawl, and win.
Yeah, she was much better. I never owned her as a 5 casting cost. I wasn't able to cast
her. It's amazing
how
much one mana can do.
It's a big difference.
It is.
Yeah.
My turn, right?
Your turn.
Or is it Micmac's turn?
Your turn. I just went.
Oh, okay. So here we have the Beast. 6 casting cost. Death Rattle. Summon a 3/3 Finkel Einhorn for your opponent. And it's a 9/7. And it's a Beast. And I don't own it, so I can't read what color. Oh, that's silly me. Forget I said that. Of course the gem is orange. It's a legendary. I don't like him.
Really?
I called him meh. I wouldn't dust him. I kind of like when he comes out with my web spinner. I've gotten him a few times with my web spinner. But, and 9 attack and 7 health. Pretty nice. but I just don't like giving my opponent the Finkel. And 80% of the time, at least, my opponent finds a way to just get him out of there immediately before I ever attack. You know, so instead of me delivering 9 health for my 6 mana, I'm just giving my opponent a free 3-3. And that's probably just my bad luck. Someone with better luck would probably like him more, but he's just met to me.
I just like how you said that you gave your opponent the Finkel.
I did. I gave my opponent
that was
the Finkel.
Good. That's good. I kind of like him, especially if I were playing a priest. I'm not a priest. I'm sorry. I never said that. If I was playing a hunter, because he's a beast. Not only is he a beast, he's a 9-7 beast. So yeah, you can give a 3-3 Finkel to your opponent, but you're going to hurt him first. He's got 7
health.
You are
listening to me. I never get to hurt him first. Every one of my opponents has killed
him. I think you just have been unlucky. I think he could be a pretty good card.
Well, as I told you long ago, when I play cards, I have to rely on skill and not luck. That's why I don't play too many random cards in this game, because my luck is terrible. You saw me roll against that other player for the Epic the other day. What did I roll?
And got a 1.
A 1.
Yes.
Because that's my luck. Micmac, what do you think?
Yeah.
Well, I think this card is definitely dustworthy if you have been playing for a little while longer now and you're starting to build up your collection. If you just are starting to play and you get this card, keep it, because it's very scary for the people that you're being matched up against. There's very few cards that someone can have that will kill him. Even though his death rattle is pretty terrible, he's still 6 mana, 9-7. That's scary. And he's a beast. So there's synergy with hunter decks. Oh, I had a web spinner one time give me Tundra Rhino. Another web spinner gave me the Beast. I play Tundra Rhino. Next turn, I play the Beast. I had a 6 mana King Crush, bigger than King Crush, go right to my opponent's face. That was pretty cool with this particular card. But I think he's dustworthy for someone that's beginning to be more advanced at the game, but not initially.
I would not dust him. There are other cards that are more dustworthy than he.
Yeah, I would definitely
agree. I think he's situational. I really do. I don't think he's... I'm sorry, a 3-3 creature that just can't do anything is just a 3-3 creature is not that horrific if your opponent has it. Not when you've got your little 9-7 sitting there that's a beast that could be a 10-8 if you've got an Alpha Wolf out or something like that. Because it's a beast. Oh, well. We'll go on from that because we're... Yeah, I think he's okay. I wouldn't dust him.
So
really
the wonderful thing about having 3 people on a podcast is you can get 3 different answers.
3 completely different answers. So we'll go on to the Black Knight, and he's pretty awesome too. I'm getting lots of good cards. 6 cast, well, never mind, I had the ogre. I take that back. He's a 6 casting cost, 4-5 creature. His battle cry is to destroy an enemy minion with taunt. Could be, no, most people have cards with taunt out there. So, yeah, he's pretty good. I think he's good.
Yeah, I wish I had him, because there's a few decks that I've wanted to use him in that are one of those rare deck times that I would copy someone's deck. I've only really done it 2 or 3 times. Inevitably, this guy was in it. I'm like, okay, I'll have to substitute something else. In fact, I think the Warrior deck I copied from Micmac a few months back had this in it initially. And, to be able to just destroy a taunt with that battle cry, it's like,
yeah,
cast him, get a free spell. You know, it's always sweet to have something like that. So I think he's good. Micmac?
He is one of my favorite legendary cards. Is he a top 3? Well, I don't know about that. But he's definitely one of my favorites. And at the beginning of Goblins vs. Gnomes, everybody was playing Harrison Jones over this card. Well, not everybody, but I'd say most people. And I was sticking out with my Black Knight over Harrison Jones. I think that you could, if you had Harrison and the Black Knight, and you were looking to fill a spot with one more card, you could sort of change Harrison and the Black Knight into that particular spot in that deck that you have. He's just is so awesome. He's such a... Oh, he's killed Ancients of War. He's killed Sludge Belchers, Tyrion Fordring. Oh, he's just amazing, but you have to wait to play him at the right time. His stats of 4-5 are not good for how much he costs, but it's that battle cry. Comes down, and he can just change the game.
He annihilates a taunt. Yep, absolutely. Right. As you said, Tyrion, for anybody who doesn't know, well, most people should, Tyrion, I don't have him up in front of me, but he's a legendary... Well, the only thing is, if you destroy him, Tyrion still gives your opponent a weapon. But you can get through the shield and just destroy the card. Because Tyrion also has a shield up.
Yeah,
correct?
Black Knight's an... Yes, yeah. He's one of the few cards that can actually kill a minion with a divine shield up. Because you're not doing any damage, you're just, boom, killing it.
Boom.
He's right. Awesome. I love Black Knight.
And that is key, to destroy something without damaging it. So the downside is if you get a bonus from causing damage, you don't get that. But I'd rather see the minion completely gone than worry about that. And now, let's just flip back to Harrison Jones for a moment, which is a 5 casting cost, 5/4. Its battle cry is destroy your opponent's weapon and draw cards equal to its durability. So it doesn't quite do the same thing as the Black Knight. Why have people been replacing Black Knight with this?
It's just where the meta is right now. I mean, this is my opinion from what I've seen. So at the beginning of Goblins vs. Gnomes, Paladin, and it still was pretty popular, but it was really, really popular. So you would play Muster for Battle. So what happens when Muster for Battle comes out is that you get a Life's Justice, which is a 1-attack, 4-durability weapon, and you get 3/1/1s. And people synergize that with Quartermaster down the road. So Harrison Jones comes in there, kills that, and you draw 4 cards for 5 mana. That's great. That's awesome. I mean, you do get rid of that particular weapon, and that weapon's not a huge threat, but just the card draw is awesome. And
so then, it's another one of those cards that you're anticipating that you're going to meet players who are playing specific cards, and this is a counter to that card that benefits you greatly.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I find the Black Knight to be more helpful overall, just by my style of play. I play Control Warrior, a nice slow deck that goes to fatigue quite often, and I know what to expect. I know that Ancient of Wars are coming out. There's going to be Sludge Belchers. If I'm playing a Paladin, I save the Black Knight specifically for Tyrion Fordring, and it changes the game. It really does.
And there are more taunts out there than weapons.
There really are.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, again, depends on who you're playing and whatnot, but I think over the course of 100 games, you're going to see more taunts than weapons, personally.
Yep. Because only a few of the classes even use weapons.
Correct.
Yeah.
Autumn's Bane, why don't you do the last one for the evening, and then we'll read our email, because it's getting late.
I guess instead of getting through the next half, we only got through the sixes.
Mm-hmm.
So, Toshley, 6 casting cost, 5/7. So this is, Toshley, I don't think I ever encountered him in the game.
No, just where he worked.
If he did exist, he was in the Burning Crusade in Blade's Edge Mountains. Toshley Station, which of course is a Star Wars reference, because Luke was going to go to Toshley Station to pick up power converters, which you actually had to do on a quest back in Burning Crusade. So that was a big geeky laugh situation. But in Hearthstone, he's a legendary minion that has a battle cry and a death rattle that both do the same thing. Add a spare part card to your hand. Unfortunately, there are no power converter spare parts, are there?
No, there aren't.
No, so, some of them look like them, but no.
I think it's kind of interesting to have a battle cry and a death rattle that do the same thing. I think it's clever. Would I use the card? I'm not so sure I would go that far.
Wouldn't craft them, but would use them.
But 5/7 for 6, that's not too bad. So if I've learned to appreciate spare parts a lot more the more I play them. They've really saved my life a few times and even won a game or two. So if I had him, I wouldn't spend the dust to craft him. But if I had him, I would try him. And I bet he would probably work well in some of my decks. I wrote down good on my notes, but I'm really not sure. I wouldn't dust him, though. I wouldn't dust him. What do you guys say?
I think it's situational. I think he's a good card, but I think he's situational. Obviously, you are going to want to have him Well, you don't even have to have him in a mech deck because he gives you a spare part. Kind of high casting cost, but he's got 5/7. So he's decent. I would not dust him. I would not craft him. But I would probably use him if I got him, just at least a couple times to try him.
I, too, undervalued the spare parts. Initially, I didn't think they were going to be that great, but they really are. They're fun. One mana cost spells that can sort of not so much turn the tides, but they can give you a little oomph when you need it. Now, I think that Toshley is specific, so I agree with Black Lace, and he's specific because I think he'll synergize well with cards like Archmage Antonitis. So, if you play a spell with the Archmage out, you get a Fireball spell, and that Fireball spell, you can deal 6 damage to anything that you want. So you get 2 spare parts, you can get 2 Fireballs. I think that's pretty cool. And even with Gazlow, whenever you play a 1 mana cost spell, you get a random mech. So if you have Toshley out, you get a spare part initially, you play that, get a mech, and then when he dies, you'll get another spare part. And if Gazlow's out, you can get another mech. So I think that's pretty cool in that respect.
So you use him as a sidekick legendary.
Yeah, exactly. The 6 mana sidekick. Let's go, boss.
There you go.
You know, you summon Antonitas, pull out the Toshley sidekick. You summon Gazlow, pull out the Toshley sidekick.
All right, I'm going to move on. We will continue next week with starting with the 7 mana costs. But I just want to read a quick email from Jim Gnarly. He is basically, we had requested people send us their plays of the week when they have them, or play of the week. I said plays because he did send us two. And the email goes thusly. Had a couple of interesting games with the Steampunk Samurai deck. Let's start with the good. It started against a Warlock with a perfect opening hand. Clockwork Gnome, Annoyatron, Iron Sensei, and continued with some really nice draws. I don't remember how the game played out, but I ended up winning on turn 5 without spending any of the 5 mana with a 9/10 Annoyatron on the board, and it was glorious. All right, so that was just fun. And then on to the funny. I was playing against a priest, yay! So the game naturally took longer than usual and had no cards left to draw with 2 Jeeves in my hand. I figured the game was all but lost, so I threw them both down with 2 health left. The game ended with 27 total points of fatigue damage in my face. I lost, but it literally made me laugh out loud. Happy hearthing, Jim Gnarly. Thank you for the email. It's funny. I would have loved to see the artwork, but the animations of that.
I actually tested this deck, and since we were going to do the Rogue in a couple weeks, I was going to share that then. But I guess I'll just
the steampunk samurai.
Yeah, I tested this deck, and I went 2-3. I lost to a mech Warlock deck. I was starting to come back, and then Dr. Boom was my demise, and we'll get to Dr. Boom next week on what he is. I beat a druid. I lost to a mech mage. I beat a rogue target dummy deck. I've never seen that before, but this target dummy, which is a 0 mana, 0/2 with taunt, came out to be a 4/6 with divine shield on him. That was pretty interesting. And I lost to a rogue, so I went 2-3 with the deck. Had a good time. Pretty cool synergies with all the mech stuff in there, and I liked it a lot. So, nice job, Jim Gnarly. Thanks.
Do me a favor, McMack. Send me, I can find it in the emails. I think I would like to try that deck out if I have all the cards. Very, very cool. So, that is going to wrap it up, unless
Autumn
Spain has something more to say. Go ahead.
I do. I just wanted to bring this up. We're not going to read the whole email. But PJ Rain sent us an email, and he had done a iTunes review that we read. But I'm going to read this one line. He says, "Also, I was so delighted to hear that you mentioned my iTunes review on your show and chose to rank all the neutral legendaries. Badass." That's the only part I'm really going to read. So we're glad to hear that our decision to do this is making at least one listener happy. So hopefully it's making other people happy too. But we love to hear when we do something right, because Lord knows we hear when we do something wrong.
Yeah, and just to also say, the reason we started doing these legendaries and stretching them out like this was because of an email of asking us what we thought of certain, you know, of the legendaries. So if you all have something you'd like us to talk about, throw that in an email too. And if we can, we'll talk about it for you. So yeah, send those emails. In fact, basically, you can follow us on Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. You can listen to us on Monday evenings at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv, Hellasweet Media. You can send us an email at awhearthstone@gmail.com. You can send us a review at iTunes, and we may give you a shout-out. You can find us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook at AWO Hearthstone. Find us on Stitcher Satellite Radio, Google Plus, A Worthy Opponent. Special thanks again to Hollowsweet Media and to Awesome City Limits, who provides our theme music. Once again, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for the warm emails. And we feel the love. And it's really great. So the love and the Hearthstones keep us warm. Stay warm, because this winter's been very cold. And happy hearthing.
Broadcast of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Hollowsweet Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check hollowsweetmedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.
Sander!
Nice job, guys.
That thing is freaking awesome!
Yeah, what thing?
It's beautiful. The overlays, the artwork, the way you did it, it's just absolutely gorgeous.
Sweet.
So, guys, next time I tell you we're not going to make it through all the cards, just remember this episode.
Oh, you were right, like, completely.